Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cage Chat with Sioux Falls Canaries manager Mike Meyer. Cage Chat is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Sioux Falls manager questions about the Canaries, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Mike's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, Mike tells us how he thinks his team is doing through the first week of the season. He talks a little bit about the COVID-19 protocols regarding the team. And would the skipper like to get into broadcasting? Let's find out on Cage Chat.
Well, let's welcome back manager Mike Meyer. Mike, do you have any team updates for us?
We do. We're going to be letting go Matt Morales. He's decided to retire and pursue his track career, and he's going to head back to school. Head to Florida State and run track for them this upcoming year. So we're excited for him. You know, the opportunity came up, and, you know, he just didn't feel like he had his heart in it, you know, this summer. And so, you know, that's a blow for us just because he was, you know, a super utility guy for us, could play everywhere on the field. So we'll miss him, but we're excited for his, next part of his life.
Well, before we jump into fan question, 5 games into the season for you. What do you think about your team at this point?
I think we're okay. You know, I like some of our pieces. I do definitely think we need to clean some areas up. You know, I think in stretches we've looked really good on the mound. Stretches we've been really, you know, elite defensively. And at times we've swung the bats fairly well, but we've also been as bad as you can be in all three of those areas, you know, at the same time. So, you know, I think if we can get a little bit of consistency, we can kind of clean up, you know, way too many walks in the first 5 games from the pitching standpoint. Way too many. We probably left 5 or 6 runs on, you know, out there, runner on third less than, and can't get them in. I don't think we've got them in once with the runner on third less than, which needs to be cleaned up because we're not going to continue to win ball games playing that way. But other than that, pieces-wise, I like our roster. I think that we've got some good, you know, good talent top to bottom. Hopefully we can just kind of clean up some of the gameplay.
Well, let's jump into fan questions, and we'll start with Carl, who says, the team's flying high against the Saints. That has to feel pretty good to be doing so well against the defending champions.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, and they're our hub rivals. So, you know, we play more games against them than anybody, and we need to make sure we take care of business, you know. So we're off to a solid start. You know, we got a big one tonight, and hopefully we can we can take that one and, you know, and start off with 4-2 record. But again, it's going to take, you know, a total team effort. We've got to get solid starting pitching. Our back and our bullpen has been pretty solid. And we need to get some timely hits, but it's nice to be off to a good start, and hopefully we can continue that.
We have a couple from Glenn. The first is, with the shortened season, what is the time period you give a player to work out his struggles?
Yeah, you know, that's a big question. With the climate that we're in right now, I'm not sure that we're gonna really have a timeline for that. I think we're probably going to be pretty, you know, unless we have, you know, catastrophic injuries, I think we'll probably just sit pat with what we have, just because it creates a whole bunch of issues trying to bring in free agents, making sure that they've tested before they get up here, making sure they quarantine, making sure they retest and are negative, and, you know, bringing people inside of our little bubble. It's a scary thing, and so we may not make too many roster moves this year, and we just let it ride with what we have.
Glenn also asked, about how many games do you think it will take before you know what kind of team you have?
I think, you know, these first 10 to 15 will be a good, that'll be a good marker for us. You know, if we're improving and we're getting, you know, we're getting better and our bats are more consistent, if we're throwing more strikes with some of our guys, that struggled their first outing, I think it looks like, you know, at that point you'll be able to tell how you stack up with, with the other teams in our league. You know, and hopefully we're still playing good baseball or we're improving at that point.
It seems like at this point that you kind of know how good a team you have when you face Winnipeg, by the way that they're playing.
Yeah, their lineup is you know, clicking right now on all cylinders, and their rotation is really good. So, you know, they're going to be tough. You know, obviously, you know, the record shows that. I mean, Fargo's got a really talented roster, and they've been kind of taking it to Fargo right now to start. You know, so it'll be a good test for us. You know, they're coming in tomorrow, you know, for a three-game set. So, you know, it'll be curious to see how we stack up against the Goldeyes.
Randy says, Grady Wood got hit pretty hard in his first start. Will it just take him a few weeks to work out some cobwebs, do you think?
Yeah, he actually threw the ball really well. He had about a five-batter stretch in the second inning. He gave up four runs. Other than that, he was pretty dominant. You know, he had five strikeouts in four innings, which is good. His velo was significantly better than the last time he was on the mound. 2 years ago, you know, he was 85 to 87. You know, that second inning, I think he just, you know, he went out there, his first inning was completely amped up. It's the first time he'd been on the mound basically in 2 years. And he was jacked up. And then I think, you know, sometimes you go out there for that second inning and you don't have that adrenaline pumping anymore. And mechanically he was a little off, but he righted the ship and, you know, ended up giving us four. And, you know, I'm anticipating, you know, seeing a significantly improved Grady Wood as we move, you know, forward this summer.
We have a few questions from Andrew. The first is, I think you are getting close to making your initial cuts to reduce the roster. Do you tell guys you cut to stay close to the phone in case they are needed?
You know, yeah, that's a good point. You know, it really depends on what ends up happening here. You know, we needed to cut two guys with Morales, you know, retiring, we're down to one, you know, so who knows? It may be something where, you know, we get a guy that's dinged up and, you know, all of a sudden we don't need to make any roster moves. You know, we're staying with where we're at 23 and wait to see what happens when that guy comes off the DL and, you know, we may make a move. But, you know, I think more likely than not, you know, if we do make a transaction with one of these guys, it's probably going to be, you know, that's probably it for them for the summer. You know, just because it usually doesn't work out when you bring guys back.
He would also like to know, based on that, is the league letting teams keep guys around who were cut to help them keep in shape so that they don't add the COVID concern with a guy who has already been around the team and remains around your team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, that's not been discussed within the league, you know, in protocols, but you know, we do have reserve lists that we can, you know, have guys on this year, you know, if a team chooses so, you know, that you can kind of keep guys on. So we'll see, you know, I mean, we probably won't use that. We want to kind of keep our, you know, our roster as minimal as possible. And, you know, the less guys we have around, the better chance we have of making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, so if they're not on our active roster, we'll probably just send them home.
He'd also like to know, if a guy is released from another team, would you be apprehensive about reaching out to him at all?
You know, it really depends on what, you know, our needs are. You know, like I said, I think we'll probably stay pretty pat with what we have unless we have, you know, some injuries that we need to, you know, replace. But no, I, you know, I think one of the good things about having, you know, guys that are getting released from teams in our league, is they're, one, they're in shape, they've been playing, and two, they've been going through the routines already, they've been, you know, isolating themselves, they've been taking the tests on a regular basis, you know, so it would be a little bit more comfortable transition, I think, for us. You know, if we were to get somebody that Winnipeg puts on waivers and we claim them and you know, we just have to hold them in quarantine for a couple of days till he gets his PCR results back. But, you know, I think it might be a little easier than bringing somebody in from some other place.
We turn to Rick, who says, seeing Milwaukee had players test positive, I wonder what is exactly the protocol for the team when that happens, and is that the same protocol for all six teams?
Yeah, we have, you know, we have protocols from the league office. You know, I won't disclose any of that information with, you know, what we're doing, but the league's, you know, set up stuff, and they've been working with state health departments and, you know, their recommendations, and, you know, we're making sure that everybody is, you know, as safe as it can possibly be, and you know, we're testing, you know, quite often, which is a good thing, to make sure that we can, you know, catch something early if we do have somebody that tests positive, you know, just to make sure that we're keeping, you know, everybody that's kind of inside our bubble, you know, safe, and you know, I think it's, you know, it's a good system that we have set up, and I think it's, you know, we got a really good chance of getting this thing, you know, through the summer.
Rick would also like to know how players are coping with concerns about contracting the virus.
You know, it's, I think, you know, what I've seen more this year than any other year is, you know, guys are more social in the clubhouse, where normally, you know, they come in, they get ready for early work, they go out, they early work, they come back in, they may sit in their locker, or sit, you know, on the couch somewhere, have their earbuds in, you know, listening to music or watching something on their phone, you know, maybe not having a lot of that social interaction. With our guys, you know, they're doing such a good job of not, you know, they're not able to go out. They're not able to do any things that they normally do to have some sort of an escape. So, you know, there's more socializing in the clubhouse than normal, where, you know, they're having conversations. I think, you know, we're all kind of having a, you get isolated and you feel, you know, alone. It's nice to have somebody that is going through similar things that you can, you know, talk to and stuff. So I think, you know, for our guys, they're not really too concerned because, you know, they trust everybody's doing what they're supposed to do and making sure everybody's safe.
Mac would like to know if you're even allowed to challenge umpire calls.
Yeah, there's different protocols for that, you know. For obvious reasons, we want to limit as many face-to-face interactions as we possibly can. So there's basically not going to be any arguing this year for good reason. We can ask for help if it's, you know, a play where we feel like there was a foot that was pulled and you know, maybe the home plate umpire had a better angle at it, you know, things like that. If there's, you know, rules that, you know, you want to get confirmation on, you know, on the rule, you know, you can have those conversations at a safe distance, obviously. So basically they just want to eliminate any of the face-to-face, so now none of the managers or coaches are allowed to cross the line. So we have to stay in foul territory, and we can call them over and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about this. And that's basically it. You know, I'm not a big arguer. I don't yell at umpires very often, so it's not really an adjustment for me. But I think it's smart.
Yeah, I think they even changed the rules about handing your lineup card and all that other stuff for the season, too.
They did. There's no more plate meetings, which has been really weird, and it's uncomfortable for me. I feel a little anxious before games because, you know, we're not even allowed to go see the umpire. So one of our personnel takes our lineup and goes into the umpire's room and tapes it on the door. For example, I had a late scratch yesterday. Excuse me. One of our players, you know, had a little bit of a tight quad, so I pulled from lineup and changed it and sent our runner down there to tape it in there. I said, now make sure you pull the other one off because this is the new roster and I don't want to have any, you know, a different roster. And so I was, you know, going, I just didn't feel good because, you know, it's one thing when we have the plate meeting before the games and, you know, you hand it over, but it's a different thing when somebody's taping it on the door and that sort of thing. So it's just things that we need to get used to.
Vic asks, how do you think the extra long layoff has impacted the overall play at the birdcage?
Well, I think, you know, definitely we're seeing a little bit of timing and rhythm that's been off a little bit on both sides. You know, I think being a little bit warmer weather gives it a little bit more advantage to the hitters than normal. Usually it's pretty chilly at the beginning of the baseball season, and hitters haven't seen live. So usually it's a huge advantage for the pitchers early in the season. This year, with it being a little bit warmer weather, I feel like that's kind of lessened that advantage a little bit. But you're still seeing, really good fastball hitters that aren't able to get, 92 miles per hour right now just because they haven't seen live in so long. So I think we're still in that process where, we've got some guys that are maybe not at the level of performance that they will be in, say two more weeks.
How do you feel that the field itself, kind of with this extra layoff, is playing?
The surface?
Yeah. How do you feel like it's refreshed? I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, the surface itself is fine. There wasn't really anything done to it over the winter just because we didn't know if we were playing or not. The city's not going to pump in a bunch of money, to a field that's not going to be used. So I think it's playing okay. Keaton and myself went out there on our day off on Monday and kind of fixed up third base because third base was kind of a disaster, for the first three games. So we worked on that for about 4 or 5 hours on Monday, and got it playing a little bit better. But I'd say it's more towards how it was playing in the second half of the season last year, which was adequate as opposed to the beginning of the year when it was not in very good shape at all.
We'll blame Chesney Young for that whole third base thing. Say he's responsible.
Yeah.
Steve says, I'm very disappointed to see small crowds. We finally have baseball where most places in the country don't. So get up out to the field, Canaries fans. There you go.
Yeah. So it's opening night was awesome. It was a packed, socially distanced crowd, which was nice to have. They've been pretty small, but I think it's been small all over. I've watched some of the games on the American Association TV, and it doesn't look like anybody's really drawn anybody. And obviously, we know that, there's still concerns, and people are maybe a little leery of coming out to the ballpark. But one of the big factors that you don't really think about is, a lot of the people that come to games during the summer, to minor league games, are not the individual walk-up family. They're corporate outings, they're group sales, and we're just not going to be able to do the group sales this year. You're not going to be able to sell 250 tickets to a certain corporation that comes out and has a picnic area and all that sort of thing. So we're just really relying on individual families coming out, and so you're going to see a huge percentage of fans that aren't going to be around just because we don't have those big corporate groups.
Tom would like to know what you think about the Saints at this point.
I think they have a really good roster. I think, just kind of watching some of the games throughout the league, it's, it's kind of scary. I think the league is really extremely talented and really deep. Each of the rosters, there's not really any glaring there's no weaknesses really in there. It looks like everybody's lineups, really dangerous 1 through 9. Rotations are significantly deeper this year throughout the league. And, obviously normally you have 2 or 3 guys in the back end of your bullpen that, you rely on. And it really seems like everybody's got like 5 or 6 guys that are that high caliber, relievers. So, I think they've got a really good team. I think their lineup is maybe different than it's been in the past, but extremely dangerous. And I think their pitching is very good.
Derek says Major League Baseball will be starting soon. What are your expectations for that?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're hoping that they get it off and it goes okay. I don't really feel like they're going to be able to play a full their full season. I think they'll probably have more issues than we will, just because we're basically isolating the entire league, where there's no families and there's no going to restaurants, no going to bars. We have to be in our little bubble, and from my understanding, Major League Baseball is not doing that. And it wouldn't shock me if they get this thing going, and it's just too hard for them to do. And we're already seeing some of the big name guys that are not willing to take that risk. You know, hopefully they get it off and it goes smoothly, but, you know, I'm not too confident in it.
Nate asks that the Ivy League is not playing fall sports. Do you expect other conferences to follow?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't really see how it's even a possibility to play sports in the fall. I think it's probably in the best interest to just delay all of the fall sports, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we've got a vaccine, or we've got some sort of treatments, or, you know, we've kind of flattened the spread of the coronavirus and you know, slowly building herd immunity, where we can actually maybe think about doing something in the spring and just have the greatest semester of college athletics in the history of the world, where we've got all of them pumping at the same time, which would kind of be fun to be able to go to a football game, baseball game, basketball game, you know, soccer, whatever, you name it, all in the same week.
That's interesting, because I saw that football is like 40% of all college revenue comes from football.
Yeah.
And I wonder, man, I thought, man, if that doesn't go off, colleges are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's going to be catastrophic. I know that, like, Stanford announced they're cutting 11 sports. You know, you're going to see a lot of these universities that are going to be cutting, you know, air quotes, Olympic sports or country club sports, whatever you want to call it. You know, really, there's only two revenue-generating sports in college, and that's football and men's basketball. And, you know, you have outliers where certain schools, you know, women's basketball maybe generates some revenue, or baseball generates some revenue. But most of them, you know, they don't. They lose money, and you need the revenue from football to help support those. So if you don't have football, it's really tough to have a, you know, swimming and diving team or a golf team.
Sheila says, you said your wife was a little antsy for you to get out of the house, but is she having some concern about you being exposed to the virus in this way?
No, I don't think there's any concerns, you know, about that. You know, obviously it just makes it a little bit more stressful for her at home, especially now because the kids, you know, aren't going to be going back to school right away, and she's working from home, and they're going to be starting, you know, school online, it sounds like, you know. So it's added stresses for her being home by herself. But no, she's not too concerned about, you know, my well-being here. I mean, you know, she understands that we're doing everything we can to make sure that, you know, we're keeping our guys safe and keeping myself safe, you know. So it's more of, it was exciting for her to get a little bit of a break from me. But obviously, you know, normally it's stressful for her, but it's even more so this year.
Ed would like to know, does it worry you that you simply can't believe anything that is being reported on the news these days? It's all BS. He used a different word, it seems.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You know, obviously, you know, we politicize, you know, anything and everything we can in this country nowadays. It sells, you know, it's clickbait. It, you know, it helps get eyeballs on your stations. You know, but, you know, I just try to do my own research. I try to find the answers myself. You know, I go to different sources. I don't, you know, I try to make sure I have a broad range of different places that I go for my information, and, you know, really try to dive into the actual science of things and, you know, what facts that, you know, I can get my hands on and make my own decisions based off of that.
Now we get out of the COVID-19 section of the show. We head to Greg, who says, returning back to The Walking Dead, who would you like to see killed off on the show?
Oh, my God. I don't know that I really want anybody killed off. I love the cast that's on there now. To be honest, you know, I'm going to miss Alpha. I think Alpha was extremely scary and awesome, and one of my favorite characters on the show. Let's see. You know, I have to say Carol has been, you know, kind of driving me nuts. You know, I think, look, we all get it. You know, she had a vengeance against, you know, Alpha, and she wanted to – You know, she wanted to get her revenge, and we all get that, but she put so many people in harm's way and, you know, kind of selfishly. So I'd have to say it'd be Carol right now.
I could agree with that. And we end with Chris, who says, you have a good voice and seem very comfortable talking on air. Have you ever thought about getting into broadcasting one day?
Yeah, you know, it's been a thought. You know, it's something that, you know, maybe, you know, if I get old, I mean, I'm old now, but if I get really old and I'm not able to keep up with the day-to-day physical demands of doing this job and I want to stay around the game, you know, to be honest, I don't know that I'd like to do, you know, like play-by-play stuff, but I think being a color guy would be fun and just kind of, you know, being able to work in my experiences, you know, being on the field for 20-something years. You know, I think it would be fun. You know, I've been thrown out of games before where I've gone up in the booth and done the color stuff for the last couple innings and had a really good time doing it. You know, so yeah, it would be something that would be interesting to me.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Mike.
All right, Rob. You guys have a good one.
We want to thank Mike Meyer for joining us on Cage Chat this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask to Sioux Falls manager, please send them to us at askmike@minorleaguesportsupport.com. That's askmike@minorleaguesportsupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the skipper a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Cage Chat.